You'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 22. I believe as Brother Jeff prayed in his prayer, it is good to see so many people here with all of the sickness that we've had over the last couple of weeks. Various forms of the flu. It doesn't seem to even be a respecter of whether or not you had the flu shot. Be glad when spring gets here. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we want to read it verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service again. And what a blessing it is to be able to gather together around your word in freedom. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that he might be exalted this morning. We thank you that he is the balm that is needed for each heart here today, no matter what the circumstances of that heart may be. And we pray that you would, by your Spirit, take the words that are spoken and use them in each heart as the need is. We pray particularly for anyone here who may be lost today, that you might help them to see their need today, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that you would bless your people and encourage them. We pray for the rally on Tuesday. Lord, we pray that you would give us a great outpouring from every corner of this state, that it might have an impact on those who are in authority. We pray that you would help us now as we look into your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we looked at these verses very briefly. We looked at them in conjunction with the 57th Psalm. This morning I thought that we would come back to them as the Lord seems to have directed that way and consider them in just a little bit more detail. I think there's a great message in the life of David to consider the things that happened to this man. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet, as we look at him in his daily life, we see so many of the trials and the testings and the circumstances that confront every believer in their daily life. As you come to 1 Samuel chapter 22, David has had a very tumultuous sort of few days in a place called Nob and a place called Gath. And as he arrives at the cave of Adullam, he arrives there empty. He's left behind him in Gath the sword of Goliath. Interesting to, and we don't have time to do it this morning, but it is rather interesting to think about David going to Nob, to see him there picking up the sword of Goliath. The question that comes to mind is, why would he need the sword of Goliath? It hadn't done Goliath much good. These are instructive things to think about. David goes from Nob to Gath. Gath means winepress. A winepress in the Bible is a place of suffering. It's a place of judgment. It's a place where things are pressed and squeezed. As we think about the sword of Goliath, I think it's a picture of man's wisdom. The best that man has to offer, the best that man can come up with in dealing with the issues of life. I think that sword of Goliath speaks to us about our own ideas and our own thoughts about life. Many times the Lord allows us as believers to live by the sword, as it were. He turns us over to ourselves to live our lives according to our own thoughts and our own plans, to live life our way. The end of that is always Gath. The end of that is always the winepress. The end of that is always suffering and judgment. When believers decide to live their lives their own way. It's in Gath that self is pressed and squeezed until we let go of the sword of Goliath. Until we let go of our own thoughts and ideas, until we quit trying to exercise our own will and our own way. It's in Gath where our behavior is changed. That's the process. That's the purpose of chastisement. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In the winepress, the grape dies, as it were. And what comes forth from that death is the juice, the fruit of the vine. And it's when self has been put to death that the life of the Lord Jesus in all of its fullness is able to flow out of us, to be an influence to those around us. That's when the joy of salvation manifests itself in our lives. Something that we need to keep in mind is that it was never God's will for David to go to Nob or to Gath. Those were detours of David's choosing. They were obstacles of David's creation. And there may be someone here this morning who is creating the very same kind of obstacles in your life. These obstacles are applicable to those who are saved, to those who are lost. The Lord knows this morning in this meeting, He knows those that are His. And He'll speak to you this morning according to your need, according to your condition, according to what He knows about the condition of your heart. There may be people in this meeting this morning who are at Nob. There was a house of God at Nob. David went there. But you find that the priest was afraid at the meeting of David. And on the surface, we think about that, and we say, of course, well, David was an outlaw at this point. He's fleeing from Saul. David was the king. David had been anointed to be the king, and he comes to the house of God to Ahimelech the priest, and the priest is afraid at his coming. I believe there are churches in America today that would be afraid at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rejected king, anointed by God to inherit all that this world has one day. And yet, in this place of rejection, there would be those who would be afraid at his coming to their house of worship today. There was no power in that church or in that house of God at Nob. There was a form, but no power. Somewhat like the church in Sardis that we read about in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus said of that church, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. The church at Sardis was a church that was going through the motions. There may be people like that today in this meeting. People who are going through the motions of coming to church. People that have a name. People that have at least an outward appearance of spirituality. A form of godliness, but no power. They're bankrupt. They're empty spiritually. That may be you this morning. Just exactly the sort of situation that we find in the house of God at Nob. There's other kind of people that may be in this meeting today. People who are on their way to Gath. They're on their way to the wine press. They're on their way to suffering and judgment. Now, it doesn't appear that way when you look at them. On the surface, everything appears to be fine. They have a certain look of success about them. Everything appears to be normal. But what we do not know, what we do not see behind the scenes is that they have picked up the sword of Goliath. They have rejected the truth of the Word of God, and they have chosen their own way. They've chosen their own wisdom. And they've chosen to do their own will. I think of young people who get tangled in this obstacle. Young people who have heard the truth over and over again here in this church and here in this school. But there's something about the truth that seems to them to be old. That's old stuff. I'll think about those things. That's for old people. It's too simple. It's not flashy. It's not exciting. It's not glittering like the sword of Goliath. It doesn't appeal to them like the wisdom and the treasures and the pleasures of this world. And so many young people turn their back on the truth. They turn their back on the Word of God and they choose the sword of Goliath. You may not know it. You may not realize it. But if that's your choice this morning, you're on your way to Gath. You're on your way to the wine press. It It's so easy to think back to so many students who have left this school. Students who have left this school, and in their hand was not just a diploma, but what they had decided to leave with is not the Word of God, not the sword of the Spirit, but the sword of Goliath. Think about a young man who went to the school many years ago. And we sort of lost contact with him. I can't remember his name to this day. I can see his face very well. But he wrote a letter to Brother Dwight. And it was written from a jail cell in Alabama, where he was awaiting trial for murder. He left this school with the sword of Goliath in his hand. And he ended up in Gath. Most of you young people here this morning are probably thinking, that'll never happen to me. Maybe a parent is thinking, that will never happen to my son or daughter. You've already got the sword of Goliath in your hand. That's man's wisdom. That's human wisdom. And if that's your thought this morning, you're on your way to Gath. You're on your way to the wine press. You're on your way to suffering and judgment. Maybe you're here this morning, you're in Gath. You're in the wine press. The circumstances of your life are pressing and squeezing and seemingly crushing you. You're in the wine press because of your own rebellion. You're there because of your own stubbornness and self-will. You're living by the sword. You're living by your own thoughts. It's not God's will that you be in Gath. It's your will that has put you in that place. And God has allowed it, and He's using those circumstances to get you to see your need. Your need to come to the end of yourself. Your need to repent. Your need to see the folly of trying to live life without Him. To get you to give up living by the sword of Goliath. To get you to understand and confess and acknowledge that you don't know how to live. He's working in the circumstances of your life to bring you to the cave of Adullam. That's where David came. And if you're anywhere else this morning, whether it's Nob or Gath or somewhere between, you're wasting your life. Whatever time period that 1 Samuel chapter 21 covers, and we don't know whether it's days or weeks, it's time that was wasted in David's life. God wanted him at the cave of Adullam. And the question is why? Why would He want David at this cave? We talked about caves a little bit in that message a couple of Sunday nights ago. We find that caves are places of death. They're places of despair. They're places of depression. They're places of hiding. All sorts of caves in the Bible. Why would He want David at this cave? Answer that question is very important. I think there's two reasons that the Lord brought David to the cave of Adullam. two things that spiritually it speaks to us of. Keep your place here and look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 11 just a minute. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. First Chronicles chapter 11, and we want to look at the 15th verse. Reading something here about the history of David and the mighty men that followed him. 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. The wording here is very instructive. The Spirit of God tells us that these men went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. Now, the suggestion of those words is that the cave of Adullam was a chamber hollowed out of the rock. Now, that's important because there's a couple of kinds of caves. Maybe more kinds, but two that come to mind. They're man-made caves. Caves that are dug into the earth by man. Saddam Hussein lived in a cave like that when he was captured by our troops a couple of years back. They found him in what they called a spider hole, but in effect what it was a cave that someone had dug into the earth. So that's one kind of cave. And then there are natural caves. Caves that man had nothing to do with. The caves that God put in place. Caves that are a place of shelter and safety. Refuge. Hollowed out of the rock. The cave of Adullam was that kind of place. It was a place in the rock. And whenever we read about the rock in the Bible, God has only one thing in mind, and that's His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And here at Adullam was the rock. And you went down to the rock and into the cave. There was this hollowed place there in the rock, a cleft in the rock. Place where David could find safety and refuge and shelter. Wasn't made by man. Obviously made by God. The cave of Adullam is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock. The rock of ages. The rock that was hollowed, that was pierced, that was cleft, not by man, but by God. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53 and verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he tells the nation of Israel that the Lord Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God to be crucified and slain by their wicked hands. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God hath made him to be sin for us. The rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, was pierced by God, cleft by God to open a place of safety and refuge and shelter for those who would come by faith to that place of shelter. This is no man-made cave. It's a cave that only God could have made. And that's why it speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it reminds us that there is a place of safety in His side. A place hewn in the side of the only begotten Son of God. Open for sinners. David therefore departed, we read in 1 Samuel 22:1, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. God's desire was to bring David to Himself. To bring him to the cave. To bring him to the cleft in the rock. To the provision that God had made for him. All the time that David was at Nob. All the time that he was on his way to Gath and in Gath. All the time that David was in rebellion and wandering away and living by the sword of Goliath and living by his own wits and his own will. All the time that he was down in the winepress of suffering and judgment, God's desire was to bring David to Himself, to bring him to the cave of Adullam. And I believe that David understood that when he got to the cave. He realized that this is where the Lord wanted him all along. We read a couple of weeks back in Psalm 57 and verse 1. David says, "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." You remember as we read that psalm and we read the little words there under the psalm number. We found that David wrote that psalm in the cave. He's writing those words from inside the cleft of the rock. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And he refers to that place, this cave of Adullam, as the shadow of thy wings. That's interesting wording. As we look at Calvary this morning, I think we can see that that is a place that is under the shadow of God's wings. We can look at Calvary and see it as a place like the cave of Adullam, the cleft in the rock. David said, "That's where I want to make my refuge." Where's your refuge this morning? Where's your refuge? Because the calamities are coming. You may not be experiencing the calamities of life today, but you will. They will come. Many times they come unexpectedly. They come in the form of a phone call. They come in the form of some unexpected news, some unexpected letter perhaps. The calamities are coming. Where's your refuge going to be in that day? David says, "I'm going to make my refuge in the cave. I'm going to make my refuge in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to stay there until these calamities be overpassed." David understood that the cave is where the Lord wanted him. He understood that God's desire was to bring him to himself, to bring him to the cross. That's where he wants to bring every person in this room this morning. If you're saved today, God wants to bring you to the cave of Adullam, to himself. Because it's there that we learn to reckon also ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. It's at the cross where we learn the need to die daily. It's there that we learn to be crucified with Christ. It's there that we learn to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's there that we learn that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. If you're lost this morning, the Lord wants to bring you to the cave of Adullam. He wants to bring you to himself. Because it's there that you learn that your sin is so great, that you're so vile, that you're so helpless, that your situation is so desperate that it cost God his life to redeem you. It required the blood of God himself to redeem your soul. This cave of Adullam, this refuge for sinners, was hewn out in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ after he took our sin upon himself. After he suffered the judgment of God against our sin for all eternity. We read in John chapter 19 and verse 30 that the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." The price of redemption had been paid. And the next thing that happens, as soon as the price was paid, God opened the cleft in the rock. He opened the cave of Adullam. See, there could be no escape. There could be no shelter. There could be no refuge until the price for sin had been paid. The Lord Jesus paid that on the cross of Calvary. And because he finished the work of redemption, he can offer to sinners the safety and the refuge and the shelter of the cave of Adullam. You enter there very simply. You enter there very simply by an act of your will, by the humbling of your heart before God. That's what David did. But it took Gath to break his will. It took Gath to humble his heart. It took the wine press. It took suffering and judgment. David had to be pressed and squeezed before he would let go of the sword of Goliath. You don't have to go to Gath today. You don't have to stay in Gath. You can come to the cave of Adullam this morning. You can put down the sword of Goliath. You can put down your rebellion. You can submit your stubborn will to his will. You can humble your heart today and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. "Be merciful unto me, O God." That was David's cry. "Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." That can be the prayer of your heart today. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray this morning that you might take these few thoughts and use them. We thank you for the cave of Adullam, this place here in the Old Testament that teaches us about the cross of Calvary, where the rock was cleft, the rock was opened, to provide safety and shelter and refuge, the only safety and shelter and refuge for sinners. And we thank you this morning that the cave is still open, and that all that see themselves as distressed and in debt, they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who see themselves as bankrupt and those who see themselves as lost, those who see themselves as worthy of death and hell forever, can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed in His blood. We thank you for that today. And Father, for those that are in this meeting who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but perhaps have picked up the sword of Goliath to go their own way and live by their own plan, we pray that you would convict us today. Keep us near the cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.